Oy vey, we're late.
Sadi Gimel, four lines down.
Sadi Gimel, four lines down.
Is everybody holding now?
Two
dots. Okay, on 93A1. So the Mishnah said that Rabbi Yossi was the Machria. Remember, Rabbi Yossi said that wheat was okay, barley was not okay. So the Gemara says a very interesting thing here. Kachitim molmatan l'sarim molmalan. If you have a bread, you could learn the Gemara two ways. One is that you had one bread, which was half wheat and half barley, and the wheat part was on the bottom, and the barley part was on top. You've seen your rye breads that has white and dark rye mixed in together. So that's the way I visioned it when I read it first. So you had a split bread, you know. So if the wheat is on the bottom, it protects the barley on the top. That's what it says. Shame she'en chitim shavos, kach ein hasa'orim shavos. It's the barley layer won't go through the barrier. And the other way around, it's likewise the same thing. Sorin mol matum chitim mol matlan. If you have barley on the bottom and wheat on the top, kashem she'asa'orim shavos, kach ha'chitim shavos. Just like the barley absorbs, so does the wheat.
Is there anybody that explains that it's two loaves of bread?
And some say it's two loaves of bread.
That's how he says it.
You could say that's two loaves of bread. And the pshat is, just like the bottom loaf absorbs, so too the top loaf will absorb. Because when you have a loaf touching another loaf, that's going to be a lot korav al hadavar for the chitim, rather than for the bottom one to absorb, through the air. Okay.
Now so chitim under certain circumstances will absorb.
That's correct.
But so I don't see, so when the chitim is brown on top of the barrel alone, we say it doesn't absorb.
That's correct.
Right, but this is not touching.
So somehow
the barley bread becomes usser, and then the chitim bread absorbs from the barley bread. Because they're touching. So it's bread to bread. It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easier to get through bread than to get from a barrel. Okay, now the next thing the Mishnah said was if you heated up a oven with an oven, with this cumin, then the bread is mutter because all it has is the aroma. It has the aroma. So it happens to be, if you look up the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, I think it's Samach Vav, I'm not sure what the page is, but it says over there, Machlokes Abaye and Rava, whether Recha Milsa or Recha La Milsa. Abaye says Recha Milsa, and Rava says Recha La Milsa. And Rava says, Mino Amin Allah, how do I know Recha La Milsa? This none, because it says in the Mishnah in Trumas, that the bread that's baked in the oven is mutter. So you see that Recha La Milsa. And Abaye says in response, it's different because Kakaya Li Isra, that the Isra gets completely burned up. So it's just keep that in mind. That's the Bavli. Now let's look at what the Yerushalmi says. So the Gemara says, "Mal litzlo shnei shpoidim, mechash shabasa shvut, mechash shabasa nevela." What if I have two spits, and I want to have one of them is roasting a kosher basar, the other one is doing a nevela. So can I have them both in the same oven at the same time? They're obviously not going to be dripping grease on each other, but there is a certain amount of
air
which aroma. Is aroma.
So
yes.
The next one to know that.
So the Gemara says,
not
so the Gemara says, Rav Yirmiyahu Amar B'Shem Rav, Osir, Shmuel Amar B'Shem Levi, Mutter. So it's a machlokes whether Recha La Milsa or not. Right? So the Gemara says, Pligam Asisal Rav. So there's a Mishnah that argues on Rav. And Psochem, again, in Yonah Diyum V'Brach Hashem, Ein Tzol L'Shem Psochem V'Tan Rechot, that if you have, remember, by Pesach, as I'm sure you say every morning, that it's Einu Nechal Ela L'Nuyav. That's the last Mishnah in Ezeu Zvach. Ezeu Mekam Shul Zvachim, right? Which everybody says every day. I know you do. Yep. And it says that the carbon Pesach is only eaten to those who are designated for the carbon, right?
Right.
So if you have two chaburos and they want to roast their carbon Pesach, they can't do it in the same oven, because what might happen? It's because you might be machlifin, you might mix it up, and the chaburo which was money on this Pesach will get that Pesach, and that's not proper. They can't eat from the wrong Pesach. So that's what it says. Neya taruvas. So loyam muslim yishami is madaik. So loyam neya taruvas. The only reason why they can't do it is because you got might get mixed up. But because the aroma from one carbon Pesach to go affect the other carbon Pesach, that is not a problem, right? That is not an issue. So you see, Reicha lav milsa. Pliga masnisan al Rav. Rav said Reicha is osur. Here you see Reicha is 100% mutter. That's it. That is the kasha. So then what is the answer to that question? I think it remains
They didn't wrap double in aluminum foil.
No, you couldn't wrap anything in aluminum foil on Pesach, because if it would touch metal, it wouldn't be called sli. It would be called, in fact, that you would have to cut it off. Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah. It says in the brackets in 11, based on the cited rice, Yerushalmi seems to conclude that mere aroma is not a factor. Indeed, it is possible that even Rav retracted his stringent ruling based on the Gemara's question. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a basic question here, and he asks it over here on the bottom. He says, why did the Gemara have to go at a brisa about carbon Pesach? Why didn't they go to the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Kamoin, that it's Reichas Lam Milsa from the dinner of Kamoin. So the answer is, our Mishnah does not provide a conclusive proof to Levi's position, for it discusses an aroma that remains from a source that has ceased to exist. Sound familiar?
That has what?
Has ceased to exist.
Oh, like
the Kumin. That's what I'm talking about, the Kumin. The reason the Gemara doesn't bring a Raya from the Kamoin in the Mishnah to prove against Rav is because it's not going to be a good proof. Why? Because there it ceases to exist. It gets completely consumed. The bread is first placed into the oven after the cumin is reduced to coal or ashes. Only in that case maybe the aroma is not a factor. Where the aroma emanates from an extant substance, such as we have in the case of the two carbonate sochem.
It's really very fascinating that that should be enough to be.
Yeah? Why should?
Think about the chemistry. Once the stuff is extracted through the heat in the air, what's the difference of the source?
What's the difference of the source is there or not, right? But that gufa is what Abaya said to you. Remember, I said that Shakamatari in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. That's exactly what Abaya answered Rava when he tried to prove from the halacha of Kumin that Reicha is lav milsa, and Rabbi said, no, awesome kakaya li isura, it gets completely consumed.
So it would be me'ila. If a person smelled a carbon, that would be me'ila or something like that? According to this mandamar, the
Reicha milsa?
Yeah. Who ever heard of such a thing?
That's a good question.
Why would it be?
He's asking a question. If you hold Reicha as milsa, would smelling the aroma outside the Beis Hamikdash, you'd smell the burning ola in the morning, right? You're going for your morning jog around the Beis Hamikdash. I can see this. You're jogging around the Harabayas in the morning, first thing. That's the way you start off your day. And as they're burning the carbon tumid, you smell the aroma and you're breathing deeply. You love it. You're asking, if you hold Reicha Milsa, would that be an answer of Me'il? Truth be told, if you take a look at the Taisus over there in Avodah Zarah, he goes through Madrega after Madrega of certain cases of Reicha, where he feels not all Reicha is the same. There's Reicha of the bread on top of the wine, where it's absorbing the reyach of the wine into the bread. That's like a strong reicha. And then there's a lighter reicha, which is the reyach of kamon, which maybe is a lighter madrega. I mean, you see that things are different madregas. It could be that at that level, everybody would agree reicha is lamel saw it. Possibly.
By davening, you can have a daven next to Graf Shel Re'i because of the smell. That's
totally different. Why? That's totally different. You can't say it's lav milsa. It smells. You can't daven in a place where it smells. You can't say
why?
You can't say it's lav milsa. You can't point to Shulchan Aruch to prove that it doesn't smell like a toilet. This doesn't make any sense.
Is it
mamashus
or is it not?
It's a matzias. If it's reyach sheyesh ba ikar over there, by the way, over there, it does make a difference. If the soya is extant, that's different than if it's taken away. So you see already there is a chilek whether the original thing is there or not. It's an interesting point. Okay, let's go on. Me tasri. Now we have this tasri juice. It's not exactly clear. What this is, I think the Hebrew side says it's some kind of a mashka that has a davar isser in it. Is that what he says?
An aromatic herb.
The English here, he says it's an aromatic herb of some sort. I don't know.
So, but doesn't all these smells have anything to do with the fact that it's like in a steam? Because everything is, cooking off. So you have a liquid that's coming along with the smell.
Well... you're asking is the fact that the two karbanos psachim that are roasting in an oven, which are obviously going to have right steam coming off of those,
right.
I assume
the
so.
Fat. Yeah, the
yeah,
fat burning off.
I mean, it could be flaming as far as I can see. You know? I know, I just made steaks last night on the grill, and it was flaming. So therefore, what? Well, you're asking a question.
So I mean, that's
you want to say that there
a much higher
in other words,
transfer
the
of
smell
aroma
is connected
here.
To moisture, which makes it more of a.
So you're getting into you're switching from reicha to zeyas, which
what
you were what you were saying before.
Well, it's a combination.
Yeah. Well, the fact is that it's an open oven at the top, so the steam is going out of the oven, and so therefore, tanurim shalonu they say because it's they're larger. So it's not that much of a problem. Yeah. We paskin lachakilo recha milsa lachakilo, but b'diavon recha la milsa. It's pretty much what I'm pretty sure that's the psak. Okay. Ayin in your day to see and ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Meit sasri, trumot, this juice which has some dvar iser mixed into it, rabba ma'asar, it's forbidden. Shulam ha-mutter, it's mutter. What is the issue with this juice? Let's see, 13. He says it's this pennyroyal and this juice that oozes from the pennyroyal. So Shmuel argues the juice is characterized as insignificant sweat, zeya, so it does not have truma sanctity. Although fruit juice has rabbinic truma sanctity, Shmuel maintains that the case of pennyroyal, which in itself is merely rabbinic to begin with, they were lenient and they permitted its juice. And Rav, on the other hand, holds that the pennyroyal juice is no different than the food itself, and therefore it's rabbinically forbidden. That's what it says over here. Okay, so you're dealing with this truma pennyroyal, and it's the extracted juice of it, whatever that is, and that's a machlokas. Is it like the fruit itself? Is it not like the fruit itself? A machlokas. Rav said it was Osir. He came to eat by Shmuel's house. Eichel Shmuel, the Rav, made Sasri. And Shmuel gave to Rav that which he himself said was Osir. So, you know, when I read this Gemara, I said, oh, you come to my house. I mean, I'm not Makbid Ochel Yisrael. My wife is, but I'm not. So if you come to my house and you're my guest, you eat what I serve. You know, I don't have to go accommodate your chumras. That's what I thought when I read this Gemara. You see, there, Shmuel's feeding Rav what Rav held was Osir.
Changes his mind.
So
number 15.
That ruined it for me. Mamash ruined it for me. I read footnote 15 says that Rob changed his mind. I say Rob didn't change his mind. And when he goes to eat by Shmuel, he doesn't keep his own personal chumras. He does like the Baal HaBos of the house.
Except Rob was much older.
It's the same. Other thing is, doesn't matter. Shmuel
like that.
What?
I've heard stories.
Let's suppose I go to someone's house. This happens. My employment at Yisrael. It's a Shemitah year, and I go to someone's house. They're Samech on the Hetter Mechira, and I'm not Samech on the Hetter Mechira. Am I allowed to eat in his house? Yes or no?
Nope. Yeshiva, every time we went out for Shabbos.
So in the yeshiva circles, they'll say no. But if you look in, what was it that put up to those two nice volumes on Shemitah? What's his name? I think he's the rabbi of the city, the Shomrei.
Oh,
Rabbi Ramon.
Yeah.
Rabbi Ramon has two books. In those books, he says it very clearly. No problem. It's not, the chumrah of not being someone on the Hetter Mechira is not like you hold it's taz or treif. There are plenty of poskim to hold this mutter. But nervous, you don't hold one from it. So if you eat by someone else's house, you can eat by their house. You don't have to say, I won't eat here. That's what he says. I'm not saying everybody holds like that.
My son, Riverdale, invited Rabbi Ramon to come to his house for dinner.
Yeah.
And the secretary called back and said he'll be happy to come. If it's milk, it has to be Chal Yisrael, and if it's meat, it has to be Chalak. That's all he cared. He didn't ask from who, where, what, or anything like that.
Chalak?
Chalak is glot in Hebrew.
Oh. Okay. I don't think that contradicts what I'm saying.
No, it's agreeing with what you're saying. I'm telling
you. Oh, it's agreeing with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm on your side.
I'm glad you're on my side, Rabbi.
Now, I have a granddaughter.
I need as many people on my side as possible. Because I'm a very small group. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now we're ready to go on.
Yep.
Very small.
Okay.
Halacha Gimel. Oh,
yeah.
Tilson. Now we're going to talk our favorite food, fenugreek.
Fenugreek.
What is it about fenugreek that everybody, why do they talk so much about it? Because it's got. Did I skip something?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's something a little more. Hadain Tavnya. Rav, not only did Rav forbid the roasted meat that absorbed aroma from the Nevela meat, because Rav held Recha Milsa, Rav Chia Bar Ashi B'Shem Rav, he said, Meshagali B'Harusa, he would not roast slaughtered meat in an oven used for Nevela meat until he would sweep out the oven with a broom made from branches of a date palm to clear out any residue that may have been left from the Nevela meat. So that's this way of learning the Gemara. The Hebrew has a completely different shot.
Is there a reason why Gemara tells us the details of the instrument used? Is there something?
Nah, it's not according to this shot. It's just that it's used as a broom. But the other shot them are that if you went ahead and you declared on a date palm that the whole date palm is truma, that even though you declared truma on the whole thing, but the wood part of the date palm was not included, and therefore if you heated up an oven with the wood of the date palm, it would not impact the oven at all, which is a completely different shot over here. Yeah, am I right? He says a shot, right?
He says that here.
He does?
Yeah.
What does he say?
16
says it?
Sweep out the oven and meat and chew the meat. They're explaining that it would burn out the oven using day one branches as fuel before roasting the kosher meat.
That was the first thing. Okay, listen, that was the first thing I said. But I just said a whole different shot now. Did you hear the second shot?
I guess not.
Okay. Let's go on to Halacha Gimel. Tilson, this fenugreek, this has a unique characteristic that the wood of the fenugreek smells just like, or tastes just like the fruit itself. So it makes for an interesting mix because people don't normally eat the stems. So what does it say in the Mishnah? Tilson shenafel bar shemayim, it falls into water and it fit.
Isn't that one in the Simanim?
Black-eyed rubia.
Yeah, some people
Rosh Hashanah.
Say
black eyed peas or what?
Yeah, some people call it black eyed peas.
Black eyed peas is fenugreek?
No, fenugreek is a vegetable.
Which is fenugreek?
So it's black eyed peas.
Yeah, but it's a...
There are other things.
Okay.
Who the bar tastes like
the art scroll.
Yeah. So it says over here... let's try to get through the Mishnah, okay? Let's try to get through this Mishnah. All right. Again, in 17, the fenugreek plant is distinctive. Its edible seeds and its inedible stalks have a similar taste. So we're talking about where the stalk's flavor is, if is the stalk's flavor to the water considered when it comes to certain isorim. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. So if it's truma, miser, sheni, if the fenugreek, well, I'm just going to use the word telson because it's easier on my mouth. If the telson is truma, miser, sheni, so miyesh mizarab kedei liten tam, of a loba eitz. We only have to measure based on the seeds, not on the stalk. The stalk is discounted because there is no kedushas truma or ma'aser sheni found in those, in that part of the plant, right? Uba shvius uplaya karem. Now we're on tzadik gimel on the base. If it's shmita year, or you have uplaya karem. When you have klayim, which are, of course, osur b'hanah, hekdesh is also osur b'hanah. Shvius is mutar b'hanah, right? So what's shvius got to do with it? Shvius means that there's an iser shvius that goes on the wood as well. In other words, it's not like truma and ma'aser sheni, where you don't have any kedushas truma at all chal on the wood. By shemitah, it is chal on the wood. See, the Mara folder says, Afwa eitz osur bahani the kachashiv. The eitz is considered. Then in Yesh Mazar, but eitz k'neli tentam, you have to consider the wood as well. Misho ha'iloi k'avilei tilsen shol k'loi akarim. If someone had bundles of this tilsen, and it was k'loi akarim, then of course you'd look who, because it says, pentukadesh, right? Pentikdash, vidashim, pentukadesh. You have to burn klayim karam. How you look at the tilson shel tevel? If you have a bundle of tevel, kotesh. So what you do is you pound them to separate the seeds from the stalk. Umachashiv kamazir yeshvem. You estimate the amount of seeds because remember you always take shuma min ha'aymed. That's why it says machashiv. You estimate it. Umafresh lezazar. You take the shuma from the seeds. Neimat shalach afshesaitz. You ignore the stalks altogether. So now you. Notice over here we're talking about you made them into bundles, but you have not yet done the hafrashas truma yet. You haven't done the kriyas shem of truma. Then in hifresh, but if you designated the stalks as truma without removing the seeds, so you picked up the whole bundle, you said this is truma. So then in hifresh, if you at that point, well yomar ektosh etol es ha'etz v'atin es hazara. You can't say, well, you know what? I'm going to take out the seeds now from the stalks and give the seeds to the Kohen, and I'll keep the stalks for myself. No, you can't do that. Elanosin esra eitz im hazara. You have to give it all to the Kohen because when you kore Hashem truma, you were kore Hashem truma on the whole bundle.
What do you use the wood for? What do you use the stalks for?
It could be used for Michael Behemoth. That's my understanding. I don't think it has any other purpose. Maybe it could be used as besamim from Mitzvah Shabbos. You can stick some fenugreek stalks into your cloves, and maybe together, maybe it'll make a nice aroma. I don't know.
Because you don't have to take off truma for food for animals.
Right, that's correct. I said there's no kedushas truma on the stalks at all.
See, I'm not the only one.
Ein eitz pogeim b'chosuk pogeim. Do wooden stalks not impair and continue to impair the flavor of the water? Why is the water subject to the restrictions of the fenugreek? Meaning, I think it's asking, right? It's asking even, let's see. One second. So I thought the Mishnah was talking about the impact of the seeds on the water, no? Is this question on the ratio of the Mishnah?
Number 7.
The ratio of the Mishnah says, if Yesh Bezerah Kedei Liten Tam, then it would ask the water. But if it would be hektish, then you would have to consider the aids. No, it's on the Sefer, probably, the question is. Why in the Sefer does it say by hektish or klei hakerem that if it impacts the water that it's going to be usur? Why don't you say that it's nice and tall of gum? That's the kasha, right? I think that's the kasha. So my answer is, must yisim command yomar nice and tall of gum is usur. That's an easy answer. The Mishnah is coming out like the man yomar holds it's usur, so that's why it will be usur. Okay? Simple answer. Which is your mayor, right? Even if you hold that it normally is mutter, why would that be? Called over because in contrast to the wooden stalks of other plants, the fenugreek stalk enhances the flavor of anything it falls into. So we have this is an exception to the rule, right? Normally, nice tall of gum. Here, it's not nice and tall of gum. Well, that's the simple thing. Either you hold it's pagan and we're coming out like the Mandiam Rose, nice and tall of gum is asur, or you hold it's not pagan.
We're talking about stalks or seeds?
Stalks. I'm going in the safer. We decided it's going in the safer of the Mishnah. The case where the stalks are considered in the equation. Because the ratio wouldn't make sense to kasha. Why would you assume that it's nice and tall of gum if the seeds are what's giving you the tom? Yeah. Mishra yilach habi like tilson. So it says if you have it. So now he brings over here a Mishnah in Arla in chapter 3, Mishnah 4. Says the machlokes of Meir and the Chachamim regarding these bundles. So if a bundle of klei hakerem fenugreek becomes intermingled, means it gets mixed up with permitted bundles of fenugreek, what's the din? All of them must be burned because it's a davar shemah minyan. They're too significant. These bundles are too significant to be nullified in a mixture. And the sages argue. They say what? Even stuff which is sold by count could be bottle. So a bundle of fenugreek could be nullified by klei hakerem in a ratio of 200 to 1. 200
to 1.
200 to 1. But according to our mayor, a single stalk of fenugreek is bottled 200 to 1, but a bundle of fenugreek, since it's a davar shemah minyan, will not be bottled. Okay, so we have this basic machlokes between the Chachamim and our mayor, whether a bundle of fenugreek is considered so chashuv, because it's davar shemah minyan, that you can't be mevatlet. Okay, kamei chavila, how big is a bundle? Now that we have this hakdama, which the Yerushalmi decided not to let us in on, you have to have the English explain it to us. Esav v'chamisha zirin, 25 stalks. You need 25 stalks to make it a bundle, which is chashuv. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbam and Hain Mita, and four of those stalks have to be a bed. In other words, it must be large enough to serve, I guess, as a foundation for the bundle. I don't know any other pshat over here. The bundle is so thick that four of them could be fashioned into a bed had they been straw. That's the way he learns the pshat over here. So four of them doesn't mean
had that, they been straw.
Had they, in other words, had they been straw, they're thick enough that they would have been able to be a bed or something like that. Okay. Let's suppose it's tavel. We'll say omra. In effect, we're saying acheng v'chabilos heinit balls. That when the stalks are yet in bundles, they're tavel. Because the case of the Mishnah is you have chavile tilson shel tavel. You have bundles, right? So you have these bundles of 25, which are tavel. In other words, what's gemar malach over here? Obviously, making them into bundles
is not gemar
malacha.
Separate the seeds, right?
Right. So it says over here, the Gemara here infers from Amrish's characterization of bundles of fenugreek as tevel that the bundling of fenugreek is considered the completion of its processing and is thus rendered tevel at that point, although the seeds have not yet been pounded out of the stalk. So it's saying that that's the chiddush of the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that even though normally you would think that you would bang out the seeds, once you made it into bundles of 25, that's already considered a ma'aseh ma'amalacha to a certain extent.
Even with the seeds
in play. Right. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, just 1 second. Yeah. Why is that not true also then by sheaves of grain, ears of grain? Why don't you have the same thing? Say if I make a bundle of 25 stalks of grain and tie it with a bow and say, okay, that's considered Gemara Melacha, even though you haven't done the Gemara Melacha. So the Gemara says, no, Ein Machnis L'Chein. Ears of grain are for flour. They're not brought inside the house for the processing in this manner. Meaning, the story behind the answer here is that the Gemara means because sometimes you will take some of that grain into the house and roast it raw. They eat it raw, like roasted, you know, kernel. Roasted kernels, I'm talking about. Roasted cauliflower caramel. So you go ahead and you roast those things. So even though that's true, that's the minority amount and it's not the original intent of the crop. Therefore, that does not constitute Gemara Melacha. That's actually the Gemara's next question. I'm sorry, I jumped the gun. So let me start over. The Gemara's kasha was, let 25 stalks, ears of grain also be considered a bundle in Gemara Melacha. The teretz is because it's not brought inside the house for processing. In fact, the Gemara Mahaloi Chavi is Machansim Lechein, but there are some that are rolled up to the house to be for this purpose. Where it says Engidulehim Lechein, that's not cultivated for this purpose. The Elu Machnisim Lechein Engidulehim Lechein. These the fenugreek plants are brought inside the house for processing in this manner, and they're cultivated that way. So therefore, just making them into bundles is enough to be considered the Gemara Melacha. Adkan Daf Tzadik Gimel, and we'll continue with Hashem 9:30, Maitzei Shabbos on Tzadik Daled.